Jill Anderson is a North Shore naturalist. She lives here in Cook County and joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome back, Jill.
Hello.
Well, now explain this for me. You refer to fruit as the season's spaceships. You've been watching too much Battlestar Galactica?
What's
with the spaceship thing?
Well, I'm trying to think of some way to find a good analogy to what fruit is. It's something we all take for granted, right? I mean, we've all grown up with fruit. We're lucky. We've grown, whether it's wild fruits or, fruits from other parts of the world even. And so fruit is just this thing that's around us and a part of our diet in a big way, hopefully. I mean, they're good for us. But they're really an amazing thing. So seasonal spaceship, and the reason I use that term was just because if you consider that a plant growing on Earth has an aim, an evolutionary aim, which is to occupy as much space as possible on this planet, propagate yourself and be everywhere if you can. I mean, if you can outcompete everybody else, so be it. that's not your problem. You're just trying to be out there. But you're a plant. You're immobilized in the sense of you can't go around planting yourself. You can't, decide, okay, well, I'm going to go over to this part of the country and grow here for a while. That's not how it works. So there needs to be some way of moving around and getting your genetic material to some other place. And you also need to deal with the hazards of the environment while you're doing it. So plants, in essence, have had a few hundred million years to devise a way to do this. I'm reminded of it when I hear people, cosmologists or people who are really interested in space exploration, talking about, well, how would we colonize other planets, or how, we as a species. And so what have plants done? Well, plants over the past few hundred million years have managed to devise a way to basically do what we're talking about doing, when we talk about going to space. And so it goes something like you take your embryo, one of your embryos, when it's about the size of a grain of sand, and you package it with some high energy food, so fats and proteins, really rich. You give it a packet of that, and you wrap it in several laminations of very high test material that will protect it from the hazards of the environment, solar radiation, deep, deep temperature swings, acid baths, and you protect it with that. Then you put a final coat on it that makes it look like just some innocuous little stone. You think about the seed of a typical plant, a pin cherry or an apple, or it just looks like something innocuous, something not particularly interesting when it's just the seed, right? Because that's what a seed is, what I described. Then around that seed, or a group of seeds, in the case of some plants, raspberries, blueberries, you stuff material around it that's high energy food for most of the other things that live.
And yummy.
Something that's in short supply, something that most everything needs and wants and is after. And then around that, you put an attractive packaging, cover, wrapping, bright, colorful, attractive in various ways. And then you hang it out there where everything can see it. Put it right out there where it's really obvious.
We're once again proving the plants are smarter than people.
And then you just wait. And the hungry consumers going by, oh my gosh, look at this. And, little taste test. Oh, this has got this great high energy food that, you don't find just everywhere. They inhale it, basically. They just wolf it down. And then they go off on their way. And eventually they deposit your seeds, which are protected against the acid bath of your digestive tract, wherever they poop. Sometimes they grow right there in that nice little pile of fertilizer pellets. Or they might get picked up by an ant and carried somewhere else, or picked up by something else and carried. And some of them get eaten, and the seeds are eaten, and they're truly digested by just the right sort of critter. But fruits are just, I think, something underappreciated for just what they mean in terms of a device to move yourself around the world in a way that protects against the package of a seed, is equipped with sensors that can tell what how much light intensity there is, what the temperatures are, what the chemistry is around it, so they know when the environment is just right for going to the next level. They're equipped with timers so that they don't start to grow before the winter cold and dark is over. So what is contained in a fruit is just a miraculous thing. We rely on them in a big way, and they rely on all of us, not just humans, but all these other creatures that need the material that they're packing their seeds in for both enjoyment and nutrition. So I thought this time of year, September, this is the last of the big harvest rich summer months to really be appreciating all the wild foods that we have in our neighborhood and the domestic foods that we grow in our gardens. And fruits are just right up there with some of the most amazing and miraculous and delicious things there are.
Makes me hungry just talking to you. Jill Anderson, botanist and plant ecologist, thanks for helping us understand seasonal fruits.
You're welcome.